Good morning. I should open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to be taking our text from this morning. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone that's out with us. We do have guests with us, and we're just so thankful that you've chosen to be with us and hope you can come back and be with us again. In 1930, something very unusual happened. It's still, I think, an open FBI missing persons file. But on August 15th of that year, after dining with some friends in a restaurant in New York City, New York State Supreme Court Justice Joseph Carter got into a cab and was never seen or heard from again. The FBI thought maybe his appearance was in connection to some mafia because he had been on some mob cases, but there's no evidence to support that. But there was only one clue that Mr. Carter left his family, and it was just a short, simple note that said, "I am very, very tired. Love, Joe." And that was the last that anyone has ever heard from him. But I can't help but think that there's a lot of us who feel the same way. And Jesus has something to say to those of us who are tired, who are exhausted, to the person who is worn out. Jesus offers rest. And in Matthew chapter 11, at verse 28, Jesus issues this wonderful invitation. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to take our lesson from this passage this morning, but I think there's two parts to this passage that we need to look at kind of separately. The first part that I want to look at, I believe, is very encouraging. It is comforting. I believe the second part of this passage is encouraging as well, but it might not seem that way just from a surface reading. And so I want us to look at that this morning. And I want us to notice, first of all, that Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor," or "all you who work." Now, the word that Jesus uses here doesn't mean work, maybe the way that we initially think about it. We all know what it's like to work a long day, and we come home from that day of work, and we're tired, and we're exhausted. Or maybe you put a long day in the yard yesterday, and you worked outside all day long, and you came in, and you were exhausted from that. But Jesus' word that he uses here goes deeper in its meaning than just that. It means to grow weary, to be exhausted, or to labor with wearisome effort. It's used a few other times in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 5, at verse 5, remember Jesus shows up and the disciples of Peter had been fishing all night and they've not caught anything, but Jesus tells them to let down their nets. And Simon answered in verse 5, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." In other words, we've been working, we've been laboring all night without anything to show for it. Hours of hard work and nothing. It's the idea that's conveyed in Mark chapter 6 at verse 48. Jesus sends his disciples out on a boat, and suddenly they find themselves caught in a storm. And it comes to verse 48. Jesus, it says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. So here it is, the disciples are in this storm, and it says that Jesus saw them straining at the oars, but they're not making any headway. They're not getting anywhere. All of this work and nothing is happening but weariness, blistered hands probably, and frustration. But I'm guessing that you know this feeling of being exhausted, and Jesus saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you feel today as if you're just burdened beyond what you can handle? Do you feel as if at times it would be so nice if someone could just come along and take the day for you and just take care of things for you so that you can just have a little bit of rest? I remember reading, this was back years ago, maybe 40 or 50 years ago, but there was a lot of concern in our country about the technology that was developing. And it was even, I think there was testimony even in a subcommittee in Congress where there was some worry and there was some fear that within 20 years, Americans are only going to be working on average 22 hours a week. And in this testimony, they said the great challenge would be figuring out what to do with all the excess time. Now, here we are, years, 40, 50 years later. We have all of these major advances in technology, and I'm wondering, what are you doing with all of your excess time? How's that going? I think that's why Jesus offers us this rest, that it's so precious to us. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know how you picture that in your mind, but I just picture the arms of Jesus extended. After he has issued in this text some woes and about the coming judgment of the Lord, Jesus extends this invitation by saying, come to me. And this is issued, there's other invitations issued throughout the Bible, maybe said in different ways. The Lord said to Israel many times, return to me, return to me. Or he says to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer. And here he says, come to me and I will give you rest. I mean, isn't that comforting words? I think it's one of the most beautiful promises that we have in the Bible. It was a promise that God made to the Israelites as they headed toward the land of Canaan. 40 years they had traveled and traveled into the wilderness until they had finally arrived at a land of rest. And it's the promise made to those of us who are Christians as we look forward to heaven. The Hebrew writer says in verse 9 of chapter 4, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And then in Revelation chapter 14, at verse 13, some of my young ones like to take notes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write the verse down, and then later on today, if you don't get all of this written down, I want you to read that verse and write it down this afternoon or throughout this week, okay? Some of the girls get on to me for going too fast, so I had to say that. Revelation chapter 14 at verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and for their deeds do follow them. And I want you to notice that phrase, they may rest from their labors. Aren't you looking forward to heaven for that alone? For the opportunity to rest from your labors? Now, I'm not talking about sitting down and sitting in an easy chair with a 70-inch TV in front of you. That's not heaven. I just know that in heaven, it will be a place where we will no longer experience the feelings of exhaustion. We will no longer be utterly worn out, in that heaven is going to be a place of rest. But having said all of that, while we have that promise, I don't think that that's what Jesus is getting at here in Matthew chapter 11. While, yes, we have the promise of rest for our souls in heaven, when Jesus issues this invitation, this is a promise for rest for the here and now. Jesus is offering help to carry our burdens. In Galatians 6 at verse 2, Paul writes, bear one another's burdens. And we can do that for one another. We can do that for one another. And we talked a great deal about in our Sunday morning class the importance of family and encouraging one another. And we can help carry one another's burdens. And we've all experienced that at times in our life. There's times when we've gone through things and we just don't think, there's no way I can handle it, but yet our brothers and sisters show up and they're there and they walk side by side with us. And maybe in a small way, we do that, but Christ does this on a much greater scale, into a much greater measure. Whatever burden we are carrying right now, Christ says he'll be there for us. Whatever burden that is, Whether it's problems in your marriage, or whether it's problems with your children, or whether it's problems with your job, or whether it's the feelings of loneliness, or the burden of rejection, or the burden of sickness, disappointment, or addiction, whatever that is, Jesus is offering to carry our burdens. And listen, we all can recognize and acknowledge the fact that life is hard. Life is difficult. These are the kinds of burdens that Jesus wants us to bring to Him. Jesus is saying, come to me with whatever struggles you might have in your life. You don't have to carry those burdens alone. I will help you with those struggles. Just give them to me. I don't know if you've traveled lately, but maybe you know what it's like. You know, you have a bunch of luggage and you're going through the airport, and even though you've got, you know, your suitcase and it's got the wheels on it, but you're probably carrying something else. Some of you know what it's like. You're carrying just a bunch of stuff, and you go to the wrong place, and oh, I got to go over here to check in, and you finally get to check in, and the nice attendant, they take your bags, and you just feel a relief. Well, I'm glad I don't have to carry those bags around the airport any longer. And I think about what Christ does for us. No more burden. And Jesus is looking for those who are bold enough to admit, Lord, I need your help. Christ wants us to come to the point and the realization in our life where we say, I can't carry these problems alone. And Jesus promises, I will give you rest. But now notice in verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I don't know what you think when you hear that, but I want you to think for a moment. Do you really equate Christianity, following Jesus, with the word easy? You think about it being light? Do we really think about it that way? I wonder if the more popular concept of Christianity today is that it's just a heavy burden of responsibilities. Christianity is just all of these obligations that I have in my life, and it really just weighs me down. It just makes life harder. And you have to do this, and you can't do that. And maybe to some degree, we might say, you know, it's not easy to be a Christian. Sometimes it's difficult. It's hard. It's hard. And yet Jesus says the yoke is easy and the burden is light. When I think a lot of people think about it as just the opposite. They feel the commandments of God are a burden to them. Now I think about many of the Jews in the first century. They would have agreed with something about commandments and about laws. That commandments and laws can be a burden. They can be heavy. And they agree with that, not because of God's laws, but they would agree with that because of the religious leaders of their day. The scribes and the Pharisees, who had created so many man-made laws, so many man-made regulations, so many man-made rules about how you have to live on a daily basis, that the people were just overwhelmed. In fact, in Luke 11, verse 46, woe to you lawyers, for you load people with burdens hard to bear. You're just loading people down with all of these man-made rules and regulations. But what a contrast between the Jewish leaders who created these burdens and wouldn't help. I mean, Jesus says, you yourselves don't touch the burdens with one of your fingers. So they create these burdens, they won't help, and yet Jesus comes along and he offers to give us rest. And all of that may be easy to understand if it hadn't been for the language that Jesus uses in this text. Because he says, "Take in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, chances are you're like me. I've never used a yoke, but I know what one is. A yoke in the first century was made of wood, and you've probably seen pictures, and gives you a good idea maybe on the PowerPoint of what this looks like. It's this huge wooden bar, and it was placed across the neck and the shoulders of an animal. And the yoke was kind of the part of a harness that would use for the animal to pull the cart or to pull the plow. And it was really a means by which the master used it to keep that animal under control. So picture this big, huge wooden bar, and then Jesus says, take that upon you. Do you picture that as being light or easy? You see, the yoke really represents or symbolizes submission and obedience. And it's a graphic picture, maybe, of the weight of responsibility. So how can it be that the yoke of Christ is easy and the burden is light? I mean, I feel like I spend a lot of times, you know, telling you that we need to be committed. We need to take our responsibilities seriously. And to be a Christian, we're fighting a battle and we need to be prepared. And here Jesus calls it easy. So how do you explain this? Well, I like what one author had to say about this. He said this: this burden of our Lord's yoke is like the burden of wings to a bird, like fins to a fish, like a motor in a car. And he says, what would you think if I came to you and said, lifting up the hood of your new car, why do you carry this big chunk of iron around with you? Look at all the weight that it adds to your automobile. How much easier would it be if you would just put it, would be to push it if you didn't have this heavy motor in front of you? And we think about how ridiculous that sounds, right? You would say, you don't understand. It's the weight of that metal that makes the difference between pushing and riding. And I like that illustration because when you think about it, you realize that God's law doesn't make life more difficult for us. We have to grasp this, that the commands of God, the word of God, following it, obeying it, submitting to the Lord makes our life better. And ultimately, everything that God does for us and everything that God commands of us is for our good. Deuteronomy 6 at verse 24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. I mean, think about it. Think about any sin. Just think about any sin. Would the world be any better if it was just said, well, God just said, okay, that's no longer sin. Everybody just go ahead and do it. You want to lie, cheat, steal, adultery, whatever it is. Would that make things better? No, the truth is, none of the commandments of God make life more difficult for us because every single one of God's commands are there for our good, for our benefit. Now, man-made commandments, they can be a burden, but the commandments of God are no more a burden than wings to a bird or fins to a fish. And so I think that's part of it. But I also think there's at least two things that we have to consider to help us understand why the yoke of Christ is easy. Let me explain it two ways. First of all, understand the greater our love for God, the lighter the burden. The greater our love for God, the lighter the burden. 1 John 5 at verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So I think there's this direct correlation by looking at this passage between our love for God and the fact that his commandments are not a burden to us. And I want to tell us this morning that the greater our love for God is, the less of a burden is involved. I'll explain it this way. Some of you have taken care of spouses that have been sick. I may have told you before, my grandfather had a stroke, and he was bedridden for 9 years, could not take care of himself at all, couldn't feed himself, couldn't do anything. And I watched my grandmother take care of him for 9 years, and I never once ever, lived right across the street from her, never once heard her complain about taking care of my grandfather. In fact, the older I got and the more I thought about it even after they passed, she looked at it, I think, more as a privilege because she loved him. And some of you have experienced that as well. There are some of you who are caretakers now who you take care of someone else. It is your responsibility, but you don't look at that as a burden. Why not? Because you love that individual. You love that person. And I think that's what John had in mind when he wrote those words. It's not a burden to serve God and live by his commandments. It's a joy. Keeping the commandments of God is not a burden because we love him. And what that means is that if you view Christianity just with all of its commandments and requirements as a burden in your life, that may be an indicator of how much love you have for God in your heart. Because I'm convinced of this truth. The greater our love for God, the lighter the burden. But another thing I want us to consider as we wrap up. The greater our commitment, the lighter the burden. The greater our commitment, the lighter the burden. I want you to think for a moment. There are some spiritual mentors that we all have in our life. We look at these individuals, and not that they want us to hold them up on a pedestal, but we look at some individuals in our life. They may even be our peers, but there's somebody that you think of, and you think, I want to grow and mature and be like him, or I want to be like her. Why do you think that about that individual, about that person? Because there's something that you see in them that their Christianity is not compartmentalized. There's no separation between spirituality and morality, that every part of their life, in their home, in their job, at the church, in their community, wherever it is they are, their life is affected because of their relationship with Christ. In other words, they are living under the control of God. But if Christianity involves so much commitment, then how can it be described as, Jesus says, a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light? How does that happen? I told you guys a few weeks ago about me picking up the guitar and trying to learn the guitar. Now, when I play the guitar, I have to think about my fingers, and I have to sit, and I have some friends that can play the guitar. And when I sit and play the guitar with them, they're strumming along, and they're way farther than I am, and I'm looking to try to see what they're doing, and I have to think about where I'm placing my finger. My index finger goes here, and I'm moving like this. They don't do that. Their hands just fly up, and I can play a real good air guitar. Their hands just fly up and down the neck, I think it's what it's called. They don't even think about it. Now, how is that? How do they get to that point? Because they've spent time practicing. They have committed themselves to learning that. And so if I want to get to that point, it's muscle memory. It's just where I know exactly what I need to do to play the right chord. Now think about it in the spiritual realm. If I have to constantly be thinking about, well, I got to be careful to do this, or got to be careful not to do that, I think the Christian life is going to be a burden. It's going to be difficult. But when I have practiced to the point where I don't have to think about, is this the right thing or the wrong thing? Where I have lived my life and practiced to the point to where the right thing to do just is the natural thing to do. It's the easy thing to do because I'm convinced that God's way is best. It's the easy thing to do. It's not a burden at all. The yoke of Christ is easy, and that burden is light. And so what I'm talking about is a lifetime of commitment, a lifetime of bringing our life in line to what God expects of us. But the problem is, at times, we just tend to focus on that moment of decision, the moment of crisis. And at that moment, it can be too late. Because I think what we'll do in our lives and how we react in any given situation has largely been decided long before that situation ever comes about. Maybe to put it up, we need to be more concerned about practice than we are the game. We need to be more concerned about practice than we are the game, because how we or who we are will determine how we react in our spiritual lives. I was asking a couple of the young guys this morning that I know are baseball fans. I thought about this because I saw this come up somewhere that I was. Some of you remember 1988, Kirk Gibson. Remember the World Series, the Dodgers? Do you remember that, Roger? The Dodgers, and it was the Oakland A's, and Dennis Eckersley was pitching. It was the first game of the World Series, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. The Dodgers are down. They're down three. And Kirk Gibson is the star of the Dodgers, but he's not playing because he's got a bum knee. Well, bottom of the ninth, you need four runs. Who are you going to put in? Well, you don't look at Kirk Gibson. I mean, he was in bad shape. You'd think you'd better off putting the bat boy, up to the plate than Kirk Gibson. But Kirk goes up to the plate, and he limps up there. And you guys got to watch it if you haven't seen it. So it's this amazing at bat, but what he does, he gets to a full count, he fouls some off, but Kirk Gibson with a bum leg swings, hits a grand slam. Hits a grand slam. You think, how could he do that with this bum leg? He hadn't played the entire game. I don't think he played the rest of the series. Hey, I know he hadn't played the entire game, and yet he was able to hit a home run and do what he needed to do at that moment. I thought, how did he do that? I know how he did that, because he had practiced. He had spent his life devoted in living for that moment. And here's what I'm getting at. Here's why I tell you that. We shouldn't have the nerve to act surprised when we get to the ninth inning in a time of spiritual testing and we strike out and then have the nerve to say, well, I can't believe I did that. When we haven't had any type of preparation, we just show up to the plate and we strike out. Now we act like we're surprised by it. I don't think we're going to make progress in the area of spirituality in our lives or walk with the Lord until we get our focus off of the big moment and start focusing on a lifetime of preparation. And that lifetime of preparation leads to a lifetime of commitment. A lifetime of commitment to our Lord. And in essence, I think that's what Paul is saying. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I think what those verses are saying is that it's possible to adopt a kind of life where our initial reaction is the right reaction. Where we will be living, breathing, walking examples of living for the Lord. That is within our reach. But we have to get to the point with daily practice where we get to the right reaction. So I want to reiterate again that if you love God strong enough, the burden will be light. And the natural thing to do, or the right thing to do, becomes the natural thing to do for us. And the yoke becomes easy. I guess the question that I want to end with this morning is that, are you living your life in such a way right now that leads towards that kind of maturity and spirituality in your life? Jesus extends the invitation this morning. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's one particular burden that Christ will help us with. David said in Psalm 38, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. What an invitation that Jesus wants to relieve us of all the burdens of life. But he wants to relieve us of the greatest burden of life, which is the burden of sin that is weighing us down and sending us ultimately to an eternity in a devil's hell separated from God. But Jesus wants to save us. If we'll just come to him. Why don't you come to him this morning as we stand and sing?